Today, in the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. We're happy you're spending some time with us, Chip and Zay, right here on the midday, Texas Sports Unfiltered. If you're watching us on the YouTube channel, feel free to comment, play along. It's your show. If you are listening to us on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app, then play along on the Circuit of the Americas COTA text line at 512-222-9328. You know, so when Zay gets to conjuring and just walling, you can rein him in on the COTA text line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're really walling by saying walling.
You're really walling.
You say some pretty white stuff from time to time, but walling, I don't think anything beats that. But
well, that's why I'm here.
I'm here to be
the square peg in the round hole. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Hey, yo.
It is an off the rails Thursday. Chip Brown and Zay, the right call, Collier. Wilding.
No, the D silent.
Wilding.
The D silent.
Wilding.
I don't know why it's silent. I don't know.
Wilding.
I don't know why.
Hey, you wilding.
There we go. Yeah, you wilding.
Wilding.
Yeah, you wildin'.
What you mean?
Yeah, like Puka Nacua, wildin'. Puka Nacua, wildin'.
Yeah, I know. You did it all over my Lions last Sunday afternoon. Thanks.
That's a good wildin'. Well, not for you, but for football fans like myself, because that Puka Nacua could play. But you never want to apologize on social media for a mistake you made on social media. And Puka Nacua had to do that today. So
what do you do?
He was on one of those famous streamers, and the streamer, who is Jewish, I think, did something, and it was like, Puka, can you do this celebration when you score a touchdown? And I think the celebration is anti-Semitic. So, yeah, Puka didn't know. I don't know. But he had to apologize for it. And he was saying all types of wild stuff on the streams. Like, he was talking about referees at one point, saying refs are kind of shady. And the fact that you can't tell me, this is what he said. You go, you can't tell me, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but you can't tell me these refs aren't going back to the locker room and texting their homeboys because they like the shine, saying, man, you see me call that PI call on that dude? It wasn't PI, but I got him anyway. It's like, Puka, like, why? I get it. You're young. The streaming, that's the new wave. That's what Gen Z, whatever Gen's before that, that's what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. But, hey, we got our stream up here. Stream us on Texas Sports Unfiltered. I see you live every day. If you listen to us there, appreciate you. But that's that era. You know what I'm saying? Puka Nacua, mid-20s. You know, and remember where he went. You know, he went to BYU. So now he in LA. Going from Provo to Los Angeles, that's a big jump, man. That's fast movement.
Life is a whole lot faster.
Yeah, so and Puka's the man, like.
He was last Sunday.
Yo, Puka's the man. And he got the hair. He's got that surfer look that's perfect for Cali. So you know the honey's feeling it. I don't know if he's married or taken, but I'm sure Puka Nacua does well. So, yeah, you know, life moves fast, and you can get called up real quick. And Puka had to apologize today. And he just, you know.
Come on, Puka.
Come on, Puka.
Wake up. Wake up. Don't be wilding.
Yeah, no one should be wilding.
No one should be wilding.
No one should be wilding.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Shout out to Ricky Stewart, man. I don't even remember you on the field. I don't even know, like.
I almost put him in our opt-out tracker, and then I was like, no one ever saw him. So.
Wow, come on, man.
Why?
Come on.
Come on.
He was going through those Tory Becton brutal workouts. He was there. He was getting lit up in scout team, I'm sure. I'm sure, you know, he was a part of the success. I'd like to think that maybe in some way he helped Colin Simmons turn it around. Like, Colin Simmons got a good lick on him, and Colin Simmons was like, okay, this was around maybe after UTEP. And then that's what woke Colin Simmons up. This is me conjuring. I know this is what I do, but he's a part of the team. That's what I'm trying to say. You out here not putting him on the tracker. That's wrong, Chip. He's a part of the team.
He didn't sniff the field. Who's no, I'm hey, listen, Ricky, I'll put you in the opt-out tracker. I'll give you one sentence.
There we go.
You won't there get as much as DeAndre Moore, Leonga LaFau, Derek Williams, Anthony Hill, Michael Taff, Ethan Burke.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a lot of opt-outs.
It's a lot of opt-outs.
I think I heard Lee Sterling on Bucky and BK that he's picking Michigan.
Ooh.
To beat Texas in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
Pogey. I mean, I guess they're going to be motivated. I guess they want to show everyone that they could win without their coach that apparently everyone wanted out anyway. So, sure. I mean, hey, Lee's one of the best. I respect all his takes. He feels that way. Salute him for that take. But I think Texas go in here and make some things happen. But the guys that want to be here, we're finding out a lot of guys don't want to be here. That I'm shocked that don't want to be here. Sometimes you take less money, Chip. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, hey, y'all are right. My production this year, it wasn't up to what I made. I stole money. But I love this university. I love my team. I'm sorry I didn't play up to my abilities and where y'all think I should be owed. So you know what? I'll take less money because it can't be that much less. It's not like they're going from whatever they were making before to straight up zero. But for the sake of the team, it's still a team game. So if I'm taking less money, we didn't make the college football playoff. So if I'm taking less money because I want to make the college football playoff, oh, yeah, but the committee screwed us. Yeah, I know we talked about that, but either way, Oklahoma playing, you ain't. A&M's hosting the game at Kyle Field. You ain't hosting the game at DKR. You in Orlando. So all these guys that don't want, okay, you have every right to feel like you're owed a certain amount and bet on yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what this beautiful country allows. You bet on yourself and do whatever you want with that. Cool. But also, when you're playing a team game, if I'm Steve Sarkisian, I want the guys who want to be here. And sometimes that's sacrificing. And that means taking less money because I want my team to get over the top and not be in the situation they were here in college football playoff. So Yeah, it sucks. It sucks to see some of these guys go. And I get the guys going to the NFL. They don't have any eligibility left. That's obviously understandable. But the guys that I'm hearing that, you know, want more money, didn't like their deals, and then you go and look at their stats and you're wondering, what you want more money for? Where is this coming from? Who are we blaming here? All right, well, fine. Best of luck. You gonna move on, we gonna move on too. And that's just the mindset that you gotta have. Because it is the wild, wild west out here. But you gotta have guys that want to be here and that want to be a part of the grind and that love the university. And if those guys that don't like all those things, they get weeded out, so be it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough that DeAndre Moore is opting out. You know, he's a guy who has been a good leader for the program, guy who's given his all, but it's not working out. So DeAndre Moore, he's like, toodles. I got things to do.
Weird. I mean, he's trying to go to the league. If he goes somewhere else, that's where it's like, wow. Where was the disconnect? And we've talked about it. We talked about it. Like, the dude had some serious goals for himself. That's on tape. You know, he was throwing out all types of numbers where I'm like, okay, bruh. What kind of offseason you have to be talking like this? I like it. I dig it. I like a dude being confident. But also, you got to be realistic, you know? And how realistic is he? You know, because, again, we're hearing that he's one of the ones who's asked for more money, which, hey.
No, not necessarily. He just didn't like the offer they gave him.
Okay. Okay. They didn't like the offer that they gave him.
They made it. They may have given him a haircut. You know what I mean?
Oh, come on. Stop it. A haircut and a bologna sandwich. Is that what you're saying next?
A little reduction in salary.
Yeah. Like, you want to win or not? We didn't win. Like, if you win a national championship or get close,
I'm not going to get mad at the guy for being upset watching you know who get 89 targets and only catch 55% of them.
Oh, I hear that.
To each his own. To each his own.
I hear that. But also, man, I saw some drops too from him.
Yep.
Like,
yes, you did.
So I just,
and it's weird, man, because Chris Jackson's contract is up. Like, what's going on at the receiver position? So,
yeah,
it's because
these guys that rode pine all year, these freshmen, they got paid, they got some money to just sit around and I guess go to class, which is free,
buy some new jewelry.
Yeah, buy some new jewelry, you know.
Is what I heard.
Spend on some honeys on West Campus because you got it. Why not? You know what I'm saying? I'm taking the honey to Cabo Bob's. You want a burrito bowl? I got you. I got it. I ain't playing, so I got time.
I got time and money for your burrito bowl.
I got time and money. It's like, where are these guys? What's going on here? Like, yeah, I like DeAndre Moore, man. I really do. I'm not trying to knock him at all. I expected him to have a big season. Also, was very shocked that he didn't have that season. But again, it was just a trickle-down effect from the offensive line having his struggles, Arch Manning having his struggles, Steve Sarkisian not calling the right plays, you're trying to go down the field instead of doing Deacon Dunk stuff. You know what I'm saying? It just, everything was bad at different times, which led to...
Why is it always the offense that's, you know? Come on, Sark.
I mean,
PK is good for a couple of prevent defense calls that'll blow your mind, but Sark, it's like, are we running the ball? Yeah, we're running it. We're running it good. Well, I don't know. Let's throw it around a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I need Jabarja Luke calling Jaden Ball every hour on the hour. It's easy. It's easy. Just ask him, what's up, bro? You good?
Hey, how you doing? What's happening?
How you doing? Yeah, how mama? Because we need somebody that could actually talk more than football, Chad Scott. You ain't asking me about my girlfriend. You ain't asking me about my mama. You ain't asking me about Uncle JoJo. Uncle
Jose JoJo is on one today. Zay's off the rails Thursday. Did you play golf today?
Yo, I did not play golf today, but yo, Tashawn Choice was going to Uncle Juju's birthday. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm at. You know what I mean? Tashawn Choice, it was deep. That connection was deep.
That was deep.
The players in that room. It was there. So that's what I picture. I picture stuff like that. Tashawn Choice going to Uncle Jerome's house because that means so much to that player. Uncle Jerome is the one that put the football in the player that you recruited's hands. You know what that player that you got, what Uncle Jerome means to him. I don't know. Chad Scott was doing that. Ricky Stewart said, this ain't it.
Jared Gibson said,
midseason.
Deuces.
CJ Baxter might have met his future wife here.
DJ. Said, I'm out.
I can't do this no more, Steve.
I want CJ to have a good landing spot, fresh start.
That's going to hurt. I want him to succeed too. But he's going to do well, and it's going to hurt to see it.
Well,
it's going to hurt to see.
Not if, you know. So I wrote about this today in the Insider that Jaden Baugh, rising junior at Florida, is expected to get into the portal come January 2nd.
Damn, John Summerall really struggling.
Yeah.
What's going on in these meetings, man? Because we talked to Hummer yesterday. He turned off DJ Lagway. Now you got Jaden Ball here. It seems like he's entering the portal, which, to Summerall's defense, I feel like he was more at a disadvantage coming in than he was for an advantage. Like, everyone wants to be seen and liked and fought over. Go see what the market's like. And DJ Lagway and Jaden Ball, they both got mad leverage. So I'm not knocking that. But just to hear from Hummer that Summerall and that meeting with DJ Lagway went completely left, and now you're hearing about Jaden Ball, feel like the Gator fans, even though they wanted this, they're not liking this start.
Yeah, Jaden Ball. You know, this is a guy who was an athlete coming out of Decatur, Georgia. Like the 381st ranked prospect in 2024. And I had a source tell me Jaden Baugh is what everyone thought CJ Baxter was going to develop into.
Damn, man. That's cold. That's the same class, though, yeah.
Well,
no.
CJ was 23.
Okay, that's right.
Baugh was 24.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Jaden Baugh is developing. He rolled in as a 216-pound freshman. Now he's a 231-pound wrecking ball with some wheels and some hands.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Air Buddy is going to be in on this one. So this is going to be good for Jaden Baugh. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Good for Jaden Baugh. And we'll see. Texas will not be alone in this.
See, that's why guys have to take less money. That's why some of these guys, like, yeah, you got to spread it out the best you can, but some guys are going to make more than others because they're worth more than others. Like these agents, I wish these agents were real with the kids, but they greedy too, because they know the more that these kids make, the more they make. So how real are they being with some of these guys? Like Jaden Ball, yeah, the dude produced. He should be a hot commodity out here in these streets. Like what? And he's from Decatur.
His last game, he ran for 266 yards. That's like, was it top five all time? He ran for five touchdowns as a freshman in one game, tying Tim Tebow's record. Like, this dude's got some, he's got some upside.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, Decatur, he's seen some stuff growing up too.
Yeah.
Like, as Decatur, we talking about that outskirt of Atlanta. Like, it's rough. Rough out there. So he runs like he's from Decatur. And that's what you want in your back.
He runs angry.
More shifty. Yeah. For his size, he's a lot shiftier than you would think. Like he's gonna be a good back for a long time. Next level two. Whatever decision he makes. Hey, again, Jabbar Jalute, you got the upper hand, bruh. Like you've known him for a long
time.
You recruited him.
Like, you recruited him. You gave him a start. Let's see how good that relationship is. Let's see how deep it is. Let's see if you got that Tashard Choice connection.
Yeah.
See if you got that.
Yeah, like, and everybody can eat. Like, I know Contravian Wise is probably thinking, like, damn, they get Jaden Ball, my carries. No, man, the more the merrier.
Yeah, I mean, look at when Bijan and Rojo were working together.
Yeah.
Like, everybody eats. The good news is, if Texas could land Jaden Baugh, that's the kind of dude that you don't ignore the running game. Like you don't abandon the running game. You stay with it. And it's going to force them to go get whatever interior offensive lineman that they need to make sure that there's a running game.
Yeah.
Because you don't go get a Ferrari and then put some pickup trucks in front of it. You know, you put some earth movers in front of it so that it can have a nice new freeway to run on.
Yeah.
So, and
that's your concern if you're Jaden Ball. Like you saw right. That line. Like he should be what doing the research.
What's the plan?
Yeah. And but, DJ Campbell's leaving. He was like the only bright part on the interior. Again, Cole Hudson had his moments. Kyler Robinson had his moments. But, man, that first part of the season, Kyle Flood, he'd be waking up in a deep, cold sweat thinking about how bad that first month was. Good grief. So,
come on, Kyle Flood.
Oh, Kyle Flood, man. It's a down bad time for Kyle Flood. We got to redeem ourselves for real. Like, it was rough. And you got to go find some soldiers, some real football guys that that get it. If the guys that are next up don't get it, I mean, that sucks because that means when it came to the evaluation process, y'all crapped the bed on that. But still, I want to trust you guys. Like, y'all did a good job these last few years. So it shouldn't come just crashing down where we see this consistently. That can't happen. And we know how tight Sark and Kyle Flood are, but hey, this ain't the business to have friends, man. I just
keep coming back to, would Sark really change out his running back coach, receiver coach, and offensive line coach in one offseason? I could see him giving Kyle Flood a mulligan. And I'm not sure that, you know, listen, only Sarkisian knows what those conversations were at the beginning of the year. We're good. We're good on the offensive line. We got guys who can replace, you know, Hayden Connor and Jake Majors. And we're good. Yep. Okay. Here we go. And then record scratch. So only Sarkisian knows what those conversations were, and they gotta get that figured out. Someone needs to get straightened out. I said that performance review needed to be harsh. Needed to be, hey, this, we all have a bad year, but, and we still went 9-3, but we sure as heck could have beaten Florida if we had our offensive line figured out. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. You got to get everything lined up. I mean, they knew what they needed to do on the defensive line. They went in the portal and they got it fixed. And they've been good in the portal. They've been good in the portal. They've had a good hit rate. Very, very successful in terms of their evaluation and signing of portal guys. Some of those guys have been signed in April. That window no longer exists. So Brandon Harris and his player personnel department have had to be all over it in terms of knowing what, you know, what's out there. And so that when January 2nd hits, because this is like NFL free agency. January 2nd isn't when you can start looking at guys in the portal. That's pretty much when you can sign them. All the talk and everything is already happening. This is, guys are making plans. You know, I thought Eli Drinkwitz had a really good quote the other day. We should probably find it. He talked about how college football is sick and how, you know, they got to get, you know, they're calling out to Congress for help, for, you know, federal guidelines to help reel in the NIL and the spending so that they can have a little antitrust protection. I don't know how that is going to work without collective bargaining and without student athletes becoming employees or union members, but they're going to need Congress's help, because I don't think anyone, you know, we have 23 different state laws governing NIL. And I know the House settlement, everyone's like, okay, here's rev share and NIL go and fair market deal. But it's still, you can tell, I mean, Eli Drinkwitz, like, tampering? We don't have tampering because no one's ever been popped for tampering. So I keep hearing from my own players, hey, this school's offering me this. This school's offering me that. And then Eli Drinkwitz gets on the phone and calls those coaches like, hey, what are we doing? And
then yeah, I got the video. It's a little long, though.
Yeah, it's a little long. And we'll have Lance tomorrow. We'll have Drew Fabianich, executive director of the Senior Bowl at 3. We'll have Lance Taylor tomorrow at 2:30. Of course, John McClain tomorrow, talking some football. But
yeah, you want to play it?
Yeah, I think it sheds light, because it's rare when the coaches actually kind of cut open a vein. And this is Missouri coach Eli Drinkwitz about college football.
I'm curious, how much do you get in contact with your peers about their perception of what's going on there? And is it coach talk, or do you just stay in your silo on it?
No, there's a lot of coaches discussing it and frustrated, in my opinion. And I understand the national sentiment because of the salary ranges of head coaches, that it feels like we're complaining. But we're really not. We're trying to sound warning bells. And that's, you know, that's what I believe we're all trying to do, is that there's a warning that the system that we're in is really sick right now. And college football is sick. And not in a – it's just – there's showing signs of this thing really cracking moving forward. And we need to get something under control. And You know, the SCORE Act was something that it looked like it was going to be a step in a direction. There is no perfect solution, but we have to get some sort of steps moving in that direction. I think we're all weighted with, is it bated breath, the saying, trying to wait on what's going to happen with this fifth-year lawsuit in Nashville, where you could have a flurry of fifth-year guys now being eligible, and that would just throw a completely new wrinkle in the system. You know, tampering is at, I mean, the highest levels. There is no such thing as tampering. It's just because there's nobody that's been punished for tampering. And so everybody on my roster is being called. I had a dad call me and say that, and I called the head coaches at their schools, that this school and this school and this school called, and they are offering this much money. And, you know, it's you're putting a lot of pressure on young men. You know, we're paying them as 1099 employees a lot of money. We're not offering any type of retirement. We're not offering any type of health benefits. We've worked around the system and then tried to create that as the system instead of creating a functioning way of moving forward and making sure that it works for everybody. And whether that's collective bargaining, whether that's making them employees, whether that's antitrust legislation that protects everybody, you know, the commissioner or the SEC or the NCAA from lawsuits, something needs to be done. Because, again, TV viewership may be at an all-time high, and that's awesome. And gambling on sports may be at an all-time high, and that's great. I got no problem with that. But what about the well-being of the student-athlete? What about graduation rates? What about tax implications? What about handling and understanding financial literacy? What is their life going to look like after 5 years of college athletics? Is it going to be better because they participated in college athletics, or could they be in a tougher situation? And, you know, that a lot of us got into college athletics because we wanted to help young men grow and develop. And I think we're still doing that mission, but it's getting really hard because you used to talk about, Coach Saban used to talk about all the time creating value for yourself. And when he talked about it, he wasn't just talking about value for the NFL. He was talking about creating value for yourself with a college degree. And we've lost that aspect of it. And these guys are going to create tremendous value for themselves playing the game of football. And that's awesome. And I love that these guys are getting paid. I love that last week these guys with their own money went out and bought gifts for Coyote Hill. I love that. That's awesome. But my job also is to look at them in 3 or 4 years down the road and how many of them are in a better position because they played football if they've transferred 4 times. And, you know, that's just the system that we've created. Not all freedom is good freedom.
Well,
I was a little distracted during that speech. I'm not going to lie, because we just got some big time breaking news.
Yeah. We sure do. I may need to get BK in here. Will Muschamp back as defensive coordinator. Pete Kwiatkowski out. Go ahead and talk, Zay.
Yeah, for sure. Big news. I mean, we were just talking about just kind of the lapse sometimes that Pete Kwiatkowski has had. And, you know, you think about the Ohio State play, Travion Henderson, just what thought process going into that. You think about this season and just sometimes the secondary just playing really conservative football, and that play against Vanderbilt sticks out where it was like 4th and something like long or 3rd and something long. And somehow they get that just because you're playing a conservative brand of football. And I didn't think it would mean that's it. Like, this is, you know, like, he's done way more good than bad. It's just been lapses in big times. And you go back to the Florida game, you know, you don't have Manny Muhammad you don't really know the scouting report on freshman Dallas Wilson because he hasn't played yet. You just assume that, okay, this is a freshman, even though he was highly touted coming in. How much can he beat us? But Jaylen Ball ran all over you in that game, and then Dallas Wilson are killing your corners. And there are different lapses from Jalen Gilbo to Michael Taff, secondary just not communicating. And we talk about last year when you have Andrew Makuba and John A. Barron, but also last year you had Terrence Joseph and Blake Gideon. Terrence Joseph goes off to New Orleans Saints. Blake Gideon goes off to Georgia Tech to be the defensive coordinator there. So you bring in Dwayne Aquina, who's also a part of this. Dwayne Aquina will not be a part of anything Texas football related moving forward. So not only is it Pete Kwiatkowski, it's longtime DBU legendary coach Dwayne Aquina, who came back for 1 year and it just didn't work out with him too. But there's a lot that obviously went into this decision. And even though it's kind of a head scratcher, also you can tell this coaching staff, Steve Sarkisian, has had to make some very difficult decisions. And that means getting rid of somebody that's very close to him. So, yeah, super shocking, super shocking. Come on now. Nobody was slogging PK before this. Now it was quick. Think of some shit to say about Pete. No, everything I said has been said on these airwaves before. Like, I am talking about why this might have happened. And those things that I just said, those examples of what happened, are the things that jump out to me. Overall, I thought the dude did a good job. I think he's still one of the best coordinators in all of college football. But you can't dismiss the fact that there were some big time moments in the last few years where there were just times where there were duds out there that were confusing. And that's all I tried to point out. So, hey, overall, very good, but clearly not good enough. Because if it was, he'd still be here.
Yeah, this is Steve Sarkisian, getting more aggressive. So, it's, I guess, Steve Sarkisian sees eye to eye with what we've seen, and look, Pete Kwiatkowski's done a big time job. Very interesting.
Yeah. Now the Muschamp thing. What does that mean? Because if it's his gig now, if he's what's that mean for everybody around him? You know, I guess Lavin Clark stays, Kenny Baker, you would want to keep those guys. They've done a good job since they've been here. What does it mean for Johnny Nansen? You know what I'm saying? Mark Orfe, Kenote Hudson, the Nichols coach. Like, that's where the domino effect going to happen there. And Muschamp's been with Kirby Smart, Glenn Schumann these last few years. We know those guys, when it comes to defensive football, they've been running the show. So can he bring his already knowledge that he has? Once upon a time being at Texas with Mack Brown, a lot of folks know Muschamp. But, yeah, has he gotten better since then? I don't know. This is one of the shockers, because this is really out the blue. Like, now recruiting wise, you think about that, like Tyler Atkinson and the rest of that recruiting class, because they were expecting to play for Pete Kukowski. Like, and again, Sark hasn't gotten rid of his coordinator since he's been at Texas. It's always been, you know, Jeff Banks, Cal Flood, Pete Kukowski. Like, that's the thing that they've kind of wrote their hat on when it comes to recruiting. Oh, our recruiters have always stayed, or our coordinators always stay the same. Like, nobody in Power Four could say that about us the top last 5 years. And now that's not the case. So, yeah, what went wrong? But, all right, Shep, I know you got to go, man. More 24/7 calls.
I'll be back. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man. Let's bring in Patrick Davis of Open Gym. Coming in pitch hitting unexpectedly because the news of the day around Texas football is out with Pete Kukowski and Dwayne Aquina, in with Will Muschamp. Patrick, first off, how you doing, dog?
Oh, man. I was wondering what we're going to talk about today for a minute there. Starting to do some show prep, and then you're just like, well, that kind of changes what we're going to talk about, doesn't it, Zay?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I didn't expect that. I don't think Chip did either.
No, I was watching y'all. Y'all were literally talking about, I don't think we're going to get rid of Kyle Flood. Straight into. like, well, he's not going to get rid of his guys. We know the main guys that he has. He's probably not going to get rid of them. And then throw that into, oh, yes, he is. And now we just wonder, how long was this brewing? How long was there dissension, or was there discussions? I mean, long enough that they clearly went out, did look for a new person, talked to, I don't know, we don't know how many, get Muschamp. That's why we let Chip go off to find out that information for us.
Yeah. No, again, it's very surprising. Like, you would think that the issues could be solved in-house. You know what I'm saying? Because there are times where you see Pete Kukowski's defenses and you're like, why are they playing so conservative? Like, it's third and 15. Why are the cornerbacks 15 yards off the line of scrimmage, allowing all that space for a receiver to catch it and make something happen yards after catch? You know, and just different things like that. You know,
I mean, you look at that Vanderbilt game in specific. And you may wonder how many people at Texas, and whether boosters or donors, felt if Texas didn't let the comeback happen, how much better they had a chance to make the playoffs. If they beat Vanderbilt by 30.
Right.
If they just clobber Vanderbilt and don't allow that whole comeback and the stuff at the end to go, well, now you don't even have that decisive victory. Those little pieces like that, you wonder how much of that has been playing into this. Because, you know, people asking, like, how shocking is this? I mean, we all talk to a lot of people, keep our nose on the grindstone and do things like that. But, you know, this was not. I think the Kyle Flood question was the one you hear a little bit more people talking, like, all right, is there any real animosity towards Kyle Flood? The Aquina thing's not surprising.
No, it's not surprising.
I thought maybe they'd be like, you know, maybe it would be the more kind way of doing it, where you go to Aquina and go, well, we're going to keep your salary the same, but we're going to ask you to move to an analyst. All right, we're going to keep you on staff and all of that good stuff. But, you know, it just didn't work out. So if you want to leave, you can, but we're not going to take any money away. Not the case.
Yeah.
Not the case. Big shakeup.
Yeah. Yeah. I know from sources behind the scenes. Now I can say this since Dwayne Aquina's gone. Dwayne Aquina couldn't coach like he used to. And it's due to the era that we're in, the era of the student athlete and NIL and everything that comes with that. Like, kids are just a lot softer than they used to be back during those DBU days, where Dwayne Aquina could spit in guys' faces and cuss them smooth the hell out. You can't do that no more. Yeah. And I felt like he was holding back a lot with these guys, which is a shame, but also you have to adjust. Like, if you want to coach in this era of college football, you're going to have to adapt to these kids. It's different The game is different. How they're being raised is different. That's back in the day, you should just tell a kid and they do it. Now they're wondering why they're doing it. So I heard a lot behind the scenes with Dwayne Aquina not being able to really coach the way that he wants to because it just wasn't allowed or accepted. And it didn't relate to the players. There was a disconnect. And you saw that on the field with that secondary. You know what I'm saying? And how much is Pete Kukowski a part of that? I don't know. But, you know, I saw somebody talking about from a schematic standpoint. Who was that? Somebody said, Zay, Dwayne Aquina. There we go. Appreciate your naming. Zay, we have recruited 4- and 5-star cornerbacks, and they play man coverage, and PK runs a freaking zone. No, that's true. That's true. Like, Pete Kukowski, he's known for his zone coverage. You know, certain guys, especially at that size, the size that they like to recruit, Patrick, like, they like those long, over 6-foot guys that should be able to thrive in man-to-man. But if they're not getting opportunities to play that because that's just not Pete Kukowski's style, then you're not playing to your personnel. At which Sark knows. Like, Sark, you know what Pete Kukowski brings to the table. So are y'all recruiting the right guy? I don't know that. I like to say yes. Like, I look at Kay Phillips and Kobe Black, and ideally, when it comes to measurements, hell yeah, sign me up. But are they being developed the right way? And with Kobe Black, it's taken them a long time. Like, the A&M game was the first game where you're like, finally. But that's game 12. So we're trying to figure out why this is a thing here, and we're throwing out all these possibilities and stuff, which all could be true.
I think we can look at just simple things, like look at how many opt-outs are on the defense in this bowl game, which can throw you in two directions. One, where you just go, man, these people don't want to, like, there may be underlying issues here of guys maybe not feeling they're being used their potential. We see a bunch of people say in the chat of, like, they just play not aggressive enough. So, like, an Anthony Hill, why do I want to play? If you're not going to let it be fun, like, I get you want to play Ben, but that ain't fun for any of us.
Right.
That's not what we want to go in and play. And if you're going in the portal to try and get these great players now, because now you've got your recruiting class, and those guys want to come in to be developed. They want to be pushed. And you brought in a guy, Will Muschamp, who we know has developed players in the past and has done this at a very high level in the past. So you don't feel you're losing too much in development and putting guys in the NFL. He's done that. But I think you're looking at, are you going to find guys who feel like they're coming into something that they want to play? When you start looking, because I'll tell you, I feel like this probably has a little bit to do with the portal as well, because as you were just playing, everyone's tampering. So you're already talking to people, you've already got feelers out, and you may have already heard some word back from agencies or wherever else. You're not a top destination for defense. Unless my guy's getting paid a bunch of money and guaranteed starter, he ain't got, like, y'all don't blitz enough. Y'all don't, you know, you play zone, so it's just a lot harder to get big and, you know, big plays, big interceptions. Like, you're not, your offense is great for putting people in the NFL, but defensively this year, you didn't look like an NFL draft machine defensively. Yeah,
it is a conservative brand of defense, to say the least, compared to others out there. And yeah, seems like Steve Sarkisian's tired of it. And to bring in Will Muschamp, like, yo, it's not a bad look at all. Like, the dude been through the ringer, you know, and sometimes guys are just better coordinators than they are coaches. And I think Muschamp being down there in Athens, yo, you're soaking up a lot of the game, man. Like, I love the guys that aren't too big to take a lower gig if they're soaking up game and still learning. Like, you got to keep learning. Even Nick Saban was continuing to learn and bring in guys who are now very successful coaching their own programs and just picking different things. And when they leave, cool. Now you're going off to get a head coaching job. But when you were here, you helped me a lot, and now I'm even smarter than I was before you got here. Will Muschamp, he's been paying his dues, and now he wants to be a coordinator again, straight up coordinator where he's calling the shots. Good move. It's a good move. It's a good move. Look,
I have to assume there's a lot, there was more happening behind the scenes that we didn't see.
Right.
For this to be done the way it was. I know, like, cause you say a year ago we had one of the best defenses in the country, if not the best defense in the country. And this year, for the first half of the season, we had a really great defense, but it did fall off there at the end. Too much zone at the end. The secondary for sure became a liability because, as you just said, we couldn't play man. And when you can't play man, good teams will beat you over and over and over again. Like, you just realize that. And you also look at it and, like, and Gilbert, I'm not saying this is the best move in the world. I think that you could also look at this saying Will Muschamp is more SEC ready than they felt PK was for the style of what he wanted to do, that in the SEC, we feel Will Muschamp will have a better idea of what he's doing. But again, it just feels like behind closed doors. And by the way, round of applause for UT for keeping this under wraps. But you know why I'll say that is because there's a lot of stuff they have to do to win that you better keep secret. And so the fact that you could hire Will Muschamp without it breaking that any of this was happening is it's impressive. It's good because we've had leaky ships before. We've had people trying to get their names in the press and stuff. Yeah. So out of that, I'll say that's good. It is curious to see now before the portal, how much more this defense really changes up, before we get to the portal, how many more names might pop in now, where we end up. If you hear anything different from a Leonga LaFau, I mean, that's probably one of your big pieces that LaFau said. One of the big reasons he wanted to leave was the scheme fit.
Yeah.
And so is this something that now LaFau reconsiders, or is that ship already sailed? Because, Sark has been pretty adamant in the past. Once that ship goes, once you say you're going to the portal, y'all have a nice life.
Right. Yeah, good point. And again, Steve Sarkisian, it's not like him and Pete Kwiatkowski. He's just another coach. These guys go back, man. Like, these guys, they got a really good friendship that's beyond coaching. So to make a move like this, man, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. But appreciate Patrick Davis for jumping in for my man, Chet Brown. But I see my guy in the waiting room, the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. Let's bring him on now, Drew Fabianich. Drew, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Man.
How are you?
Yes, Patrick Davis, man. Patrick, Drew.
did they warn you at all?
Did they warn me? Yes. No, I literally got a text about 20 minutes. I do the show after this, so okay. I'm used to being ready on 4 p.m. But no, this is a Chip has to chase a lead. So call in the reliever real quick.
Yeah, I was gonna say who's coming out, or who's the rumor that they're leaving into the portal and extorting money from UT.
The big news of the day is that Pete Kwiatkowski and Dwayne Aquina are both fired from the University of Texas, and they've hired Will Muschamp to be the new DC. That is a big story. So I understand why Chip had to take off.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Drew, your thoughts, Will Muschamp, your thoughts.
I'm going to go back.
Go ahead.
I got thoughts on Chad Scott. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Go for it.
Chad Scott is one hell of a ball coach and a very, very good recruiter. And I don't think he had a damn thing to do with how shitty they ran the football. Not one damn thing. And I promise you, there's that tie with that running back in Florida becoming the UT. Now, when do you start firing coaches to get players? That's a little messed up. That's a little messed up. So
no, I'm with you.
Whatever. Will Muschamp's a very, very good defensive coach, very good defensive coordinator. But Pete's been a great defensive coordinator for a long time. Dwayne Aquina is one hell of a secondary coach. I mean, there was a time where Texas was DBU. I mean, where he just kept rolling dudes out of there like two or three first rounders about every 2 years. So don't understand that one. But, hey, I got told a long time ago when I was coaching, when it's your damn team, you can do it your damn way. You know? So, yeah. I mean, that's up to him, however he wants to do that. But, again, some of it I don't quite grasp.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Drew, because – I get it. You don't make the college football playoff, but a lot of teams wish they were 9-3 in the SEC. And then, you know, you beat A&M, you beat Oklahoma, who has a chance to play for a title. And this move, like, that's why Chip's not here, because he didn't see it coming. He had to go, as Patrick said, follow the lead. But just to make these moves abruptly like this, like what has gone down behind the scenes for somebody that's been in those coaching positions for a move to happen like this?
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't – if it was something that tied into it, that, you know, I mean, did they play that bad on defense? Did they – I mean, did they – was the running back room really part of it? Maybe, but – the offensive line wasn't very good. I mean, so, again, you know, the problem in Alabama is they don't have three flipping backs like they used to. Every time I went to Alabama, it was like, who's up next, right? Here comes another first rounder. Well, they don't have that. And Bear Miller's been hurt. He was hurt the year before. I mean, they're not running the ball very well. You know, is it the back? Probably, but a little bit of the offensive line. So, I mean, again – sometimes there's other things that we don't know that go on, and maybe somebody thinks they know more, a little bit more than some people do, and, you know, it's a knee-jerk reaction. But I can tell you Chad Scott is one hell of a ball coach. I was with him, and he's actually good enough to be a coordinator, you know, and there's not a lot of running back coaches that I could say that about, to be quite honest with you. He will have a job, and he will have a job in a very short period of time. He will. And he's a good recruiter, too. Yeah. So, I mean, got Jaheim White at West Virginia. And, you know, West Virginia isn't exactly the easiest place to recruit to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it does. It's one of those things that's it's always weird covering teams where people kind of get blinded to major schools and then not looking at, like, like Chad Scott is still an extremely good running backs coach. That's how he got the gig at Texas, was how good he was and how well recommended he was. And then for whatever happens behind the scenes of it not meshing properly, that leads to an ouster, you know, that one felt, I think that one too, my theory on that is that they really had their eyes set on somebody else at a point, and they were really behind the eight ball to Chartroy's left late last year. So when they brought in Chad Scott, it may have never been their number one choice. We've seen that now at several schools where they hire a guy that they really like, but he's number three. And so when number two comes available, all of a sudden they go and make that move. It just kind of felt like he got bumped solely because they felt there may have been one or two guys ahead of him in line. And
or players included.
And players included. And, you know, it's unfortunate when you see that. But again, he's one of those guys that you have no doubt will end up going further and doing fine for himself. Cause yeah, he was the interim OC, right? At West Virginia after Neil Brown was gone.
Yeah. I mean, and again, we always used to say with recruits, I mean, you go like, you know, hey, we signed the brother, you know, well,
yeah,
brother's not any good. You know? that's the package deal, you know? I mean, so I'm just saying, I put it this way, I'm supporting a guy that I've been with and that I know real well.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to voice that. And, you know, and again, if you wanted to make changes with defense, I mean, you know, defense wasn't always a problem there. So yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. Well said.
How many guys got fired on offense other than Chad?